Coming up in Talk Jamaica today, Sunday, May 13, 2018. As usual, listeners, we begin with stories from the week that was. Some of our stories include Northeast St. Elizabeth. There's a debacle in that seat now controlled by the People's National Party. And the PNP takes the National Identification System to court. Also, rising oil prices put risk to growth.
In Talk Vault feature at 4:45 p.m., we speak to Ms. Andrea Campbell of National Family Planning Board as it relates to her agency's sponsoring of Fabian Barrick's latest play, Black Sheep.
Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Ralston Chamberlain.
And I am Sanjay Lewis, and this is Talk Jamaica, your cutting-edge commentary show, live on One Radio, and we are streaming live on oneradio.link and also via our One Radio mobile app.
As usual, we come to you live on Sundays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. and we welcome you to today's edition of the show.
Also in the program, our opinion feature In Perspective and Talk History.
As usual, we invite you listeners to share your thoughts on our feedback question. Today's question, do you agree with the opposition's decision to take the government to court over the National Identification Act? Send your responses to the Talk Jamaica Facebook group page, or you can tweet us at Talk JA Radio. We invite you to stay with us and share your thoughts throughout the show as well. And you can interact with us using those platforms.
We are up on our first break. When we return, we'll take you inside In Perspective. Please stay with us.
Say enough he practice fi eat parrot fish, cause of them clean the coral reef there. Jamaica little this safety parrot fish, cause of them bring the sand from we beach them, yeah. Oh, whether you are the buyer, seller or the fisherman, say you can help save our island. Do not bring no parrot fish, come a dry land. Fisherman, put away your hook and your nylon. Make with stop try erode the soil of safety parrot fish.
Brought to you by Sandals Resorts, the Jamaica Observer, and Rainforest Seafoods.
Welcome back to Talk Jamaica here on One Radio via oneradio.link and via the One Radio mobile app. We now present In Perspective.
It's now time for In Perspective.
Good afternoon again, listeners. Good afternoon, and welcome to another week, and welcome to Talk Jamaica and In Perspective. This week, In Perspective, listeners, I wanted to tackle a little bit on this matter of information from the government. We see, listeners, where the Press Association of Jamaica on Friday, or was it on Thursday, called for the government to resume post-cabinet press briefing. And one of the things that the president, Mrs. Deon Jackson-Miller, noted in the release that was sent is that the government is doing ad hoc press conferences to speak on specific issues. But since November of last year, we realize that there has been no press briefing, the weekly press briefing that would have been held. And she even stated that even when there are post-cab press briefings, the ministers who are sent are not aware of the issues or the wide range of issues to properly report them to the press so that the press can get stories to run in newscasts. And information is very, very important in any government. And we realize, listeners, that this government is very tech savvy. We see from the prime minister to almost every minister have a very active Twitter page and Facebook page. But there are other ways in which, in traditional ways, that we can never shun as a country. There is a place still for traditional media, and there's a place for investigative journalism. And it is out sometimes of these post-cab press briefings where we have investigations happening, because a spark maybe have lit at that post-cab where a journalist may decide to probe a matter. And it is very imperative that the government resume these post-cabinet press briefings. I remember when this opposition, when they were in opposition and vying to become government, one of the things that was always said is that they have to stay close to the people, because the people are the ones who will put them in office. So now that the people have put you in office, Mr. Holness, I beg your pardon, it is important that you and your cabinet and your government at large stay tuned and keep in touch with the people. And this thing about sticking to social media only, where politicians can set the narrative, cannot be the way to go. I also call on the government, and I've said it before, that the information ministry is lost. It is lost because it's with a very heavy portfolio, that of education. And to put information with education, naturally speaking, you will drown information, because no one will be paying information attention as much as they should, because education naturally and rightly so will take front and center. So it is very imperative that, and I was expecting that when the Prime Minister did his post, his cabinet reshuffle, we would have seen where information would have been given some more attention. And information is more than just post cabinet press briefing. It also has to do with the government arm, the GIS, the Public Broadcasting Corporation of Jamaica, which seems to be sitting there and its true potential not being utilized. So it's very important that, with a matter of urgency, that the government responds to the PAJ about the resumption of post-cab press briefing, and also that the information portfolio is treated with a little bit more of importance. And that, listeners, is In Perspective.
That was In Perspective.
Welcome back to Talk Jamaica here on One Radio, streaming live via oneradio.link and via the One Radio mobile app. My name is Roston Chamberlain. My co-host this afternoon is Sanjay Lewis, and we now present our review of some of the major stories from the week that was.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chamberlain.
Good afternoon.
I'm sure you'll be pleased by that In Perspective.
Am I been asked to comment?
Oh, certainly.
Because, listeners, there is a difference, you know, between the whole idea of information and public relations. And I think my co-host forgot to remind our listeners of that thin line between information and public relations. And if you ask me, this government, yes, is about the business of public relations and not necessarily information. And hence we are here today, where the Press Association is asking, what's happening with this whole issue of the press brief, the regular press briefing? How could we have allowed ourselves to get to this stage? But I've said it before, listeners, you know, and if you watch carefully, we are heading towards a dictatorship in this country.
That is such a strong, and if we don't
watch carefully, hold on just a moment. If we don't watch carefully, we are going. There are so many things that this administration is doing that is eating away, yes, eating away at our democratic society. But that's for another day. However, Let me commend you at your attempt at trying to be balanced in this situation and calling on this administration to forthwith. Yes? And I agree with you that the information ministry, I think, it's either the government is going to make it a separate ministry or get someone who can devote, yes, the time to the ministry itself so that the information can be flowing. Because I do not think that this present minister is doing that ministry the justice that it deserves. Because and we can look back at the track record of how he has handled questions at press briefings. It's either he is unaware or he doesn't have the information to give to the public. And so my humble suggestion would be that either the Prime Minister make this ministry a separate ministry, or he has a separate minister totally responsible for information. Why not give that ministry, if I could say, to maybe somebody like Daryl Vaz, who sits in OPM and does nothing every day?
Daryl Vaz is responsible for the economic growth of the country.
Growth.
He's in the growth.
But there ministry. Is no growth going on.
Oh,
why not? Let's focus on information.
There is no growth.
Where's the growth? Where's the growth?
There's no growth in the country.
How much did we grow by? Are we still at the 5 in 4? Because I'm still on that, you know. Are we still at the 5 in 4? And no, we're seeing. But go on to the next door, because I think we're treading right into that direction.
Well, listeners, the next story is rising oil prices, a risk to growth. Bank of Jamaica Governor Brian Winter has been eyeing the movement of the oil prices, as according to statistics, the prices have risen by 25% since January. At a sitting of the Public Administration and Appropriations Committee last week, Mr. Winter mentioned that the upward trajectory is already causing worry about the growth projection that the government had, which were based on projections that the price of oil would be at US$56 per barrel. When queried, Governor Winter mentioned that the US$56 was the projection they had put in place in January, but being that the present price of almost US$71 per barrel of oil is where it is at right now, things have changed. Also, these increases have. He further stated that the 25% increase have been absorbed without any significant increases in inflation. The significant worry is if the oil prices will continue to rise and stay up. Well, you see, listeners, the oil is always a tricky thing to hedge. And I know my friend from Canada will come and talk about when the previous administration hedged oil and how the JLP while in opposition complained. But you see, the problem with oil is that oil is determined by what is happening on the global scene. And it's a hit and miss, because you can hedge at a certain amount, as what happened under the PNP, and realize that oil dipped significantly. While the reverse now is we haven't done any hedging under the JLP, and we're seeing the opposite, where prices are trending up.
So, here's my question. Do you agree with the present administration? Do you agree that the present administration ought to have edge? Do you agree that they ought to have edge?
The present administration,
if I follow your line of argument, you know, it's almost the same thing as an insurance, you know, it's a hit and miss. You don't necessarily have to be in an accident for you, for the insurance to kick in. You have to be in an accident for the insurance to kick in, right? Mm-hmm. And so if it doesn't kick in, then you have it there. Right? So the idea is this, it's a safeguard. It is a safeguard. So now we don't. So whether or not the price is going up or down, the idea is to have that safeguard in place. And then what this administration has done is to remove that safeguard, right? And now they've removed the safeguard. So the oil price is trending up. Is going to be, as Brian Winter is saying, going to be detrimental to growth. Meanwhile, if we add hedge, we would have it as that cushion, agree, where we could very well be talking about seeing that 5 in 4.
You see, the problem with hedging is at what rate we're going to get it. That's the challenge. So, for example, I think when we did the hedge under the PNP, we had, I think it's at $50-something per barrel. And oil, I think, dipped to $30-something per barrel or $40-something per barrel. So we lost significantly, right? So while I probably would not be against hedging, I would say we have to come to a comfortable figure that we know that if oil will not dip significantly lower, which sometimes is very hard to predict because who would have thought that oil would have dipped so low 2 years ago? And now, 2 years later, who would have thought that the President of the United States would have been Donald Trump? And what would have happened?
That's the point. That is why you hedge, so that you can have that safeguard in place. So it's a risk, yes, but at the same time, as you said, it depends on the price.
The price.
The price at which we hedge, but we have no safeguard in place. That's a point I'm making.
No, I agree.
Why was the safeguard removed? Because this and if I was reading correctly, about last week there was an article in the Gleaner about whether or not this hedging really was removed. But I'm going to wait for the minister to answer the questions in the parliament to hear whether or not, because my understanding is that because we were not edging, there was this particular tax that motorists were no longer supposed to be paying. However, my understanding from reading the article is that at some way the government has sneaked that tax in and it is still being charged. But we'll wait and see. But the point, though, the overall point in terms of this whole edging and the how it's going to affect the oil price and how it's going to be affecting growth, which is rather anemic from what we're seeing now, then this is something that is serious. And if we were having regular press briefing, then we would know whether or not this administration has started to discuss this issue at cabinet. But we don't know. We don't know what are the plans that this administration have in store in this regard. No, because what? They've decided that they're going to edge away at the democratic process in the country.
What is the democratic process?
To have regular press cabinet press briefing, so that the electorate, every Jamaican ought to know what this government is doing. What are they discussing behind closed door? What are they selling?
You know, I would agree with you until you talk about democratic process.
Somebody, some country. What is being discussed behind closed door? We ought to know. It's not about what the Prime Minister discuss and keep among his cabinet ministers as top secret, and until you hear a special special press conference is called, and when that special press conference is called, is to talk about a particular issue. No, we need to be asking questions of ministers. We need to be asking, what was discussed at cabinet in regards to Cornwall Regional Hospital?
I will agree that to talk about the democratic process is somewhat of a strong word. But what I will agree, it is imperative that the government even if the ministers, respective ministers, are not at the post cab, it is imperative that we have questions being fielded to a minister, or it could be the selected person that the prime minister decided, press secretary. But even so, the press secretary, unless invited to cabinet, could not answer some questions that are discussed at cabinet. So it's important that someone, a minister preferably, can come to the people, which through the journalists, and the journalists ask the questions that should be asked. So I would agree with that.
Absolutely. Listeners, our next story, the People's National Party takes the national identification system to court. So on Tuesday, a constitutional challenge was filed against the Attorney General and the Government of Jamaica, seeking a delay to the implementation of the National Identification System, NIDS. A June date has been set to hear the opposition's challenge. Attorney at Law and Speaker of on Justice, Senator Mrs. Donna Scott-Motley, one of the attorneys representing the PNP, reported that the first hearing was set for June. Mrs. Scott-Motley is expressing confidence not only in a favorable judgment, but that the process would also be done expeditiously. For his part, the leader of the opposition, Dr. Peter Phillips, has rubbished claims that the PNP is being obstructionist with this challenge in the courts. On the contrary, Dr. Phillips has said it is the Prime Minister who has continuously broken commitments given to the opposition about how this legislation was to be drafted, considered, and debated. I think this is good for democracy. I think this is good for democracy. Because if there are issues, yes, that people have particular laws, particular legislation and acts that are passed in the parliament, the courts, yes, must decide one way or the other as to whether or not one party is right or wrong. So this is good for democracy. I recall that many of the PNP included, and some other NGOs and civil society groups, I'd really ask for this administration to give them some time to have a joint select committee on the national identification system. However, we saw where this administration rammed the bill through the parliament, through the houses, yes, and using their majority, they were able to pass this act. So I look forward to hear what the court has to say in regards to particular sections. Now, let us be clear. Let us be absolutely clear. The People's National Party is not asking for the national identification system to be thrown out. There are particular...
I can't ask for it to be thrown out because they are the ones who brought it
I'm setting the record straight so that you and others will not come with that line of argument.
Was it the PNP who brought the NIDS? Hold on. Did the PNP bring NIDS?
They have said that. That was never an issue.
Okay.
The national identification system is never an issue. Let us be absolutely clear. The national identification system is never an issue. There are particular sections of the national identification system that many persons, including the PNP, believe infringes on the constitutional rights of many Jamaicans.
I believe
that the place to decide it is the court.
Let me ask you this question. Was it the PNP? It's very important that you answer this question. It is important that you answer this question. It is imperative. Was it the PNP, yes, that the bill in its form that speaks to the very right that their claim infringes on.
No.
The government is on record.
They have adjusted some of the fines.
That was crafted under the PNP.
That the sections that the PNP are having issues with, they were the drafters and creators of those sections? Because that's what I'm hearing you saying. So having been the drafters and creators of those sections, then they ought not to challenge it. Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
But how can you draft something?
Is that what I'm hearing?
But that's exactly... I find it hypocritical, I will say.
No, it cannot be hypocritical least. Because you do not know if those particular sections were sections that were in... that were parts that were drafted by the PNP in its original form. We don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. So
I like you, when you said that Google is your friend. So let me just...
But Google cannot tell you that this was the bill prior to the previous administration coming into office, to this administration coming into office. And if you find that, and if you can say to the listener, this is a section that was drafted by the PNP, this is a section that was drafted by the JLP. And in any instance, if those sections were drafted in its original form by the PNP, does not mean that after deliberation, yes, and after insisting on a joint select committee, yes, and after insisting on having several changes, that doesn't mean that they can't take the government to court about it. That does not mean, sir, that you cannot go back and look back at what you had suggested before and say, okay, then probably we need to change this. But if we have a government that has a majority, that has used their majority to ram
through the parliament, the only recourse
is to have the courts decide whether or not those particular sections infringe on the rights of Jamaicans.
Let me ask you a question. Have you followed what the PNP is saying, that they have an issue with the act, the areas that they have an issue with?
My understanding that there are particular sections of the act that the PNP have issues with.
And do you know the sections that they're speaking about? Sections, and do you agree with them?
Pardon me?
Do you agree with what the words coming from the PNP?
I cannot say whether or not I agree or disagree. If the People's National Party acting on behalf of some segment of society feels that there are sections of the act that infringes on the right of citizens, then the courts must decide whether or not they have a case. I cannot say to you, I agree with the PNP or I disagree with the PNP, because I am not an attorney at law. Yes, but there is something that is very questionable. One of the points that the PNP pointed out is that if they are saying in NIDS that somebody who is not a Jamaican can come, this is one of the line of argument. Somebody who is not a Jamaican can come into Jamaica and buy a piece of land. They don't need a NIDS. But if I am a Jamaican and I am coming to Jamaica to buy a piece of land, I have to get a NIDS. There is some disparity there. If that's the case, then there's some disparity there. And I mean, it doesn't need a rocket scientist to tell you that there's
Let me ask you a question. Can you go to the United States and buy a house without a social security?
No, but you can't.
Answer the question. Can you go to the US?
I don't know that.
You can be a signatory on a house, yes, with someone with a social security without you having a social security, correct?
States? Yes. I don't know that. But that's not the point, though.
So are you saying to me that the politicians in Jamaica who own places in the United States are citizens of the United States or have a social security number?
They could very well be.
Oh.
They could very well have a social security number. I have a social security number for the United States because I lived and studied in the United States period of time.
Right. So, but
so the point, but then the point is, how is it that if you're not a citizen of Jamaica, you can go and buy land without having a NIDS? But if you are a citizen of Jamaica, you have to get a NIDS in order to buy land. That is one.
I am sure that one person can't buy land without a Jamaican being a party to the title, and the Jamaican being party to the title would.
That's not my understanding. That's not my understanding. That was one line of argument that I hear coming out of this challenge, and if that is so, then this is something that the court has to decide on, and several other parts of the law, because it's now law, that infringes on the rights of Jamaican. But then, okay, we were told, am I understanding that we were told that NIDS,
mm-hmm.
right, was supposed to replace all of the
government IDs, that you can go to the IDs. Bank and use your NIN alone and it's accepted. Yes.
So we don't need a driver's license.
So therefore, you know that you go to some.
So you don't need financial a driver's license.
Hold on, no. You go to a financial institution. Let me explain to you. You go to a financial institution and they sometimes require that you have two pieces IDs, of IDs. Right. What the government is saying, with the NIN, you can go to the bank with that one piece of ID and it is accepted. They don't need a second one.
It doesn't necessarily make the driver's license redundant.
No, not at all.
All right. So hear me now. So here we have the NIDS, right? Say, for instance, I have a NIDS. And now I'm juxtaposing this with this recent amendment to the Road Traffic Act in regards to how the grace period to produce your driver's license. What if I have my NIDS and I don't have my driver's license?
Then it's not accepted. Does that mean? No.
No, but if we're going towards a national identification
system. No. But likewise, I can't buy that statement? Hold on. No. I won't even buy that. That statement can't fly, Ralston. Let me tell you why. Wait, you can't fly.
Let me finish because have you ever just run out of your house?
Hold on, we're conflating two issues here. No, that's a separate issue.
No, that's where I'm
going. It is separate.
I'm not saying that we should make the driver's license redundant, and I'm not saying that people should drive around with their NIDS as a substitute for the driver's license. I'm bringing back the argument to the fact that the government has used its majority to remove this grace period that usually exists in terms of the time you had to produce your driver's license if you were stopped by the police. So the point I want to make is, if say for instance, right, you have your NIDS, right, and for some strange reason you're rushing out of the house, you forgot your driver's license, and you have your NIDS, that grace, the NIDS would have made absolutely no use as any form of identification, or for you to say to the police officer, I was rushing but I forgot my driver's license.
Likewise, you decided that you want to take a trip and you reach the airport and forget your passport. It's the same thing. The fact of the matter is, you have a passport that allows you to go on a plane. You have a driver's license that allows you to go in a car. It's right. The same thing. So you can't compare both.
That's different. No. We're talking about going.
No, you have a driver's license that allows you to operate a car. You have a passport that gives you.
About crossing different borders in terms of.
But the principle.
In
The principle, on
the principle of it, absolutely. But we're talking about, we're talking about going across borders in terms of a passport. With the driver's license, you're not going across any border, right? Why have the government used its majority to remove the grace period?
I will agree with you on a separate issue that I have a real problem with that grace period being removed, because you can, as you rightly said, rush in your vehicle and totally forget your wallet with a card in it, with a driver's license. And understanding how our police officers can be very vindictive at times, and they want to find something to charge you for, then they will probably charge you. So I will agree with that. Right? But what I cannot agree with is that the NIN should be used as a driver's license.
No,
that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. I never said that. I'm saying, what sense does it make to be selling us this idea of the NIDs being this national identification, when in a case like this, it would not have made any sense, right? Why couldn't a policeman say, okay, you have a NIDs, and if you genuinely have left your driver's license at home, you have a NIDs, we know who you are, let us run the NIDs, and you have 2 days in which to produce your driver's license. If you don't produce your driver's license, we have all the information that we need about you and the needs. We now need to track you down. It's as simple as that. But this government continues, listeners, to use its majority in the houses to ram through these bills. And that, to me, is eating away at our democracy.
Again, listeners, we are conflating two issues.
I've given you the examples. I've given you the rationale behind the examples and why I believe that this whole issue of the needs being challenged is good. It is good for us, you know. You'll agree with me, it's good for democracy. This is good for democracy, unless you don't believe in democracy. Then you'll say, oh, the PNP, like my good friend Howard Chamberlain has said, that the PNP is being obstructionist. And for someone who has studied law, he ought to have known that this is what happened in a democratic society, where there are issues with laws that they be challenged and the courts decide. I don't know how obstructionists come into it.
Let us hope that if the ruling is not favorable to the People's National Party, that it will be respected by all.
Including the court,
Mr. Chamberlain.
No, but if the court rules, mm-hmm. the PNP have a right to appeal.
Okay.
Because the court has a right. If you don't believe that the PNP should appeal, if the court doesn't rule in their favor.
Okay.
That's a question.
So the aim then is not about...
The aim then is not for the court to come to a determination according to you, but to try to delay a process.
Oh, it is not. Okay.
When you have a matter...
I am just asking the question, and I'm not saying that you're delaying the process. I'm just asking.
So you don't believe in an appeal?
I did not say that. I'm simply asking the questions that many persons listening would probably want to ask you.
If the court rules against the People's National Party, they have to accept the ruling of the courts. Yes? If they have grounds on which to appeal, then that's a right afforded to them by the courts. If at appeal the court rules against them, then they must, I and you and everybody must accept that ruling. It is not for me to come here and say that the court is wrong and that the court should have decided otherwise. No.
Well, we just...
I look forward to this.
Of course. And what will happen subsequent to the ruling, whichever parties favor
No, I don't know what you mean by what will happen subsequently.
No,
are
what will happen?
Saying that anything that happens subsequent to the ruling. No, because what I'm hearing you
what
say...
And I can be very blunt. It will be interesting to see the response of the PNP or the response of the GLP if it goes favorable to either. Because it will be interesting to see if the PNP wins this battle, how the government will respond. But it'll be even more interesting to see if the JLP wins this battle, what next the PNP is going to do. And I think from that,
why would that
we can
be
draw. Of course it will be interesting.
No, I see where you're going.
Because it's good. The question that will be asked, is it that the intention of the People's National Party is pure? Or is it, like the JLP is probably saying, is it that they are trying to obstruct something that they very well had proposed and something that can be so far
reaching. No, do not mislead.
I am simply asking questions.
They are not obstructing.
I did not say that. I am simply asking questions. What I need to ask the questions.
In the minds of the listeners that this is what the People's National Party is doing. And that is not true. It's not true. There are certain sections of the law that is troubling and is being challenged. Is not the PMP is not asking the courts to throw out the law and deem it null and void. There are sections of it. Right? And they're duty bound. Yes, they are duty bound by the oath that they take in the parliament to look about the rights of the Jamaican people. You might not agree with it, but that's something that somebody they have to be the voice of the voiceless.
Sometimes we ask if we talk about the voice of the voiceless, but. Is it that the voiceless want anybody to speak for them?
Absolutely.
But anyways, we move to the next story quickly. The next story, listeners, the CCJ rules St. Lucian academic should be registered to vote in Barbados election. The Trinidad-based Caribbean Court of Justice, CCJ, on Sunday ruled, which is today, that the St. Lucian-born academic should be registered as an elector to cast a ballot in the May 24th general elections in Barbados. And warned the chief immigration officer that failure to carry out the order, by midday tomorrow could land her in jail for contempt of court to be fined. It will be interesting to see the ruling, how and if it will be upheld by Barbados, and how, if it's not being upheld, which jail this person being. I always question the teeth of the CCJ.
But even more questionable for me, Sanjay, and I'm thinking maybe for yourself, is whether or not whether or not this kind of ruling can be a precedent in Jamaica as well. In the sense
it can't be. I asked a lawyer about it, funny enough, on Friday, before I knew that he was going to the CCJ, and I asked the lawyer about the if something like that could happen in Jamaica. And what the lawyer said to me was that the bylaws of the Barbados Election Commission, or whatever they call it, akin to ours, the bylaws is a little bit different from our bylaws here in what we, it's not bylaws, what we would call the statutory law is a little bit different in Jamaica. And as such, the ruling that happened there could not have taken place in Jamaica. They didn't go into details, but that's what they had explained to me. But you know, it's still interesting because even though that is said, you have some lawyers who probably read the law differently. And may have a different interpretation that it probably could stand in Jamaica also.
That would be interesting. All right, listeners, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a discussion with Miss Campbell in regards to
the play Barracks Entertainment. Play
Barracks Entertainment is putting on just now. Please stay with us. Don't go away. We want to remind you of our feedback question this afternoon. Do you agree with the opposition's decision to take the government to court over the national identification system? Please stay with us. Don't go away.
Any party me reach in any area, now let me access. No, me get it in a 12 flavor. Hold on, make me express. Whenever I'm flossing,
I'm flossing.
Believe me, me now let me excess energy drink. Give me it whether hot or cool. Mix it in a everything when me drink. Flossing, yeah. Me now let me excess energy drink. Pineapple blast tastes nice when it cool. Mix it up in everything when me drink. It mix with the any, it mix with the vodka. Mix with the Magnum, it mix with the rum. No sugar, no carbs, 8 calories. And it fool your dumb when the sun start on well. Can get it in a 12 flavor. Cranberry, grape, yeah, and the cola. Pineapple, grapefruit, tropical blast. Drink me drink till me last.
Check your local stores for XS Energy Drink, distributed by Amway North America.
Say enough, he practice, we eat parrot fish, cause of them clean the coral reef there. Jamaica listen to this, say the parrot fish, cause of them bring the sand from we beach there. Yeah. So whether you are the buyer, seller, or the fisherman, say you can help save our island. Do not bring no parrot fish, come on dry land. Fisherman, put away your hook on your nylon. Make with some dry erode, this all of say the parrot fish.
Brought to you by Sandals Resorts, the Jamaica Observer, and Rainforest Seafood.
Welcome back to Talk Jamaica right here on One Radio. We're streaming live on oneradio.link. And also via our One Radio mobile app. My name is Sanjay Lewis. My co-host is Ralston Chamberlain. Listeners, we now turn our attention to Fabian Barrack's newest production called Black Sheep. This year, Black Sheep is sponsored by the National Family Planning Board. And we are now joined, listeners, by Andrea Campbell, who will tell us about the work of the National Family Planning Board, because they are a major sponsor for the event Black Sheep. We have Ms. Campbell online. Good afternoon, Ms. Campbell, and welcome.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Great. First of all, tell our listeners a little bit about the National Family Planning Board. Growing up, many persons know of NFPB and the popular ad, two is better than too many, but we have learned that the role of the NFPB has expanded. So tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. So, yes, most persons will know of the National Family Planning Board that the ad two is better than too many. Mm-hmm. However, the National Family Planning Board has been around for the past over 50 years. And primarily, the focus of the board was population planning. You know, however, since 2013, there has been an integration with the National Family Planning Board and the National HIV-STI Prevent Program. So therefore, now it is now, so not just strictly family planning, but all sexual and reproductive health issues. So we look at family planning, the contraceptives, commodities, but we are also into a lot of training. We also do, with HIV and AIDS, we have the prevention arm of the HIV program. So all prevention activities around HIV and AIDS, outreach, testing, reaching our key population. Mm-hmm. Then all of that comes under the National Family Planning Board now, as well as the enabling environment component that looks at the rights and stigma and discrimination against persons living with HIV and AIDS.
That is interesting because we know the stigma that exists with the virus, but tell us a little bit about, I'm particularly interested in that aspect of the work that the NFPB is doing, because many persons probably wouldn't even be aware that the NFPB is doing work in that area, as in the stigma and discrimination. Tell us a little bit about the work that has been done behind that.
Okay, well, we work with the Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. and also with the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, in going into organizations, and we have actually helped to draft the national workplace policy. So there is a national workplace policy mm-hmm. for HIV and AIDS, which certain stipulations, so a person can't be fired because they are infected with HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. You should not be screening persons for interviews for HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. So along that aspect, the National Family Planning Board has been working.
And generally, how have you find the reception from, you know, the different organizations that you work with? You know, going into those organizations and trying to train the management and staff as it relates to stigma and discrimination?
The reception has been very good. Mm-hmm. Persons are willing to learn. Persons want to know, you know, and therefore information is always important.
Right.
And persons are really receptive to the program.
Mm-hmm. And now let us turn our attention to the production Black Sheep, because it's rather strange to see the Family Planning Board supporting something in culture, which is probably, and not probably, which is a good thing. Tell us why mm-hmm. the decision to, you know, be the title sponsors this year for Black Sheep.
Okay, so the National Family Planning Board, in dealing with sexual and reproductive health, one of our main focus or corporate imperatives is to reach our adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
And the play, Black Sheep, actually looks at some of the societal issues that an adolescent will encounter. Mm-hmm. So we have poor parenting. I don't know if you know the background. It's about this young man mm-hmm. who lives with his 16-year-old Shane, mm-hmm. who lives with his mom and stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship becomes real rocky between himself and the stepdad. And because of this, his mother actually puts him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, joins with another young man who is a street person, wiping windscreen, and believe you me, we have been working with Mr. Barrett
mm-hmm.
before this whole windscreen wiper issue. So it's not because of that.
Right.
So he joins the windscreen wipers, but he likes music and he likes to DJ, and he enters this competition that, although he is homeless, he enters this competition and actually comes out the winner. So the production looks at poor parenting. It looks at homelessness. It looks at abuse, both verbal and emotional, all being faced by this young man and how he overcomes some of these, all of these challenges.
Right. But I like that. But do you find generally that in Jamaica, we see many children having children nowadays, and mm-hmm. where there's an issue with parenting? Do you think that we need to give more attention to the area of, you know, proper parenting and how we grow up our children?
Yes, yes, yes. It's very important. We mm-hmm. need to do this, and the Family Planning Board has been doing this mm-hmm. over the years. You know, we work in collaboration with Social Development Commission
mm-hmm.
and engage in parenting workshops in some high-risk volatile communities
right.
because we recognize the need, because we all know that there is no manual of parenting. There's mm-hmm. no school that you go to learn about parenting.
Right.
So therefore, we have the professionals on board, and therefore we use our team to target these persons to build their capacity mm-hmm. in dealing with some of the issues they will face as parents, and also we work with the adolescents right. to deal with some of the issues they will face as adolescents. So we have our Madropa counselors
yes.
who we have a straight line uh-huh. for Madropa counseling mm-hmm. as well as our outreach officers are trained. And we have a nurse who uh-huh. can administer contraceptives. So the team works together to look at all the different issues and try to help these adolescents and help their parents as well.
I like that because I don't even think that, I wasn't even familiar with the fact that there's a direct line. Is this line 24 hours? And tell us the number that if somebody is listening and will want to get that help.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. the line is not 24 hours.
Okay, but they still can reach probably, what's the time that they can, you know, get in contact?
Between 9 and 5.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. 968-1629-32.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's quite a number of lines right. that
so
you can
go through our operator mm-hmm. and she will direct you to okay. the counselor.
Okay, and do you find that you get a lot of calls or people trying to, you know, probably seek assistance in terms of counseling, etc.?
Yes, we do.
That's great.
Yes, we do. And since the production, well, we have actually been associated with Barracks Productions. This is the first year that we are title sponsors,
right. mm-hmm.
but we worked with them last year as well.
Oh, okay.
On the school tour.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and this is where we saw the need
right.
for us to be there on a daily basis. So during the school production now,
yes.
we are there at all productions. The counselors are there. And we interact with the students where possible.
Mm-hmm. And finally, for somebody who's listening and, you know, we know that the show, the gala night, will open very soon. But if mm-hmm. somebody wants to come, are they probably saying, should I go or not? Tell them why it's important to see this play.
It is important to see the play because it really looks at, it addresses some of the societal issues
mm-hmm.
that we are facing now as a nation. As I said, you know, it really looks at some parenting issues and abuse, you know, some things that parents will say to their children and really don't recognize it as abused. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will say, well, that's how I talk to my child on a daily basis. So it's important for persons to come out and see the play.
Interesting.
And get an idea of how to deal with some issues. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we will be at all the productions, the
yeah.
showings,
uh-huh.
and our counselors will be there as well.
So persons listening can go up to the counselors, get free, probably a quick talk with the counselor during the shows.
Yes, yes, yes. Intermission before mm-hmm. the shows.
Yes.
During intermission and after.
Very good. All right, Andrea, we want to thank you so much for being on the show and for telling our listeners about the production Black Sheep. And we're there, so we'll hope to see you, and also the listeners will look forward to the show. So I want to thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Listeners, you heard her there, Andrea Clark. She is from the National Family Planning Board, telling us a little bit about the production Black Sheep. And Black Sheep listeners will start the school tours are already happening May 9 to 21 at 10 a.m. And the night shows will start with the gala night on June 1 at 8 p.m. And then on June 3, we're seeing on June 2, 8 p.m. June 3, 5 and 8 p.m. And June 7, 8 p.m. And it will be held at the Phoenix Theater at 8 Haining Road in New Kingston. Black Sheep. You got to go see it, listeners. All right, Ralston, we remind the listeners as we wrap up on the feedback question that we've asked this week. And the feedback question is, do you agree with the opposition's decision to take the government to court over the National Identification System, NIDS Act? And we see here where... I'm trying to bring up my page with a response that I saw here earlier.
But until I do that, Ralston, we know your position on that is very clear because you've already said it. But we see one here, Demario Sullivan, saying that just an opposition seeking relevance while, he says, while they are going on a slippery slope. Is it that the government is seeking relevance?
I don't know that the government is seeking relevance on a matter that is already relevant.
But, you know, the opposition is not very you don't hear much from the opposition, you know, so they need a little media attention, as some persons have been saying.
And you think this is media attention?
No, not what I'm saying. I'm just saying what people are saying on social media, as what Mr. Sullivan hinted at. That is it that the opposition is doing this to gain some relevance in a time where they have a leader that is not inspiring the interests of the Jamaican people at large?
But how would this, though, an issue like this inspire interest?
Well, because people may say the opposition is doing something, or not even interest, but attention. Attention.
I don't know that people who have issue with sections of the law that infringe on their rights is concerned about any attention that any particular party would gain from this issue. So that, in my opinion, is a ball outfield.
Again, I am mere saying what some persons...
You're a conduit of misinformation.
Mr. Chamberlain. You see, I've been tracking what is happening on social media.
You hear people on social media saying that...
But I just read one a while ago. Sure. I just read one a while ago, you know.
And that's a supporter of the JLP, right?
Sir, I don't know the political leading of
the
gentleman.
No, I know them on my page. I know when they respond. That is why I can tell you, whenever we have feedback questions, that this is what the PMP bloggers are saying.
Uh-huh.
Listeners, in Talk History this week, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day, which is celebrated on the second Sunday. It was first recorded. Mother's Day celebration was created by an American, Anna Jarvis, in 1908 and was made a national holiday. Is it?
Really?
In 1914. I wonder if because it's fall on a Sunday, why it's really not. So it's a national holiday, not a public holiday. So there's a difference. Interesting. I didn't even know that. Thank you, Mr. Producer. All right. This has been Talk Jamaica here on One Radio. Special thanks to Ms. Andrea Campbell. Special thanks to the respondent to the feedback question. And of course, you are the valid listeners in Jamaica and the diaspora who tune in via talkjamaicaradio.com, the Talk Jamaica Radio app, and via One Radio link, and of course our listeners on Zeno Radio. Until you hear my voice again, this is Ralston Chamberlain saying goodbye for now.
And listeners or producers asking us to wish Happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Angela Williams, and also a very Happy Mother's Day to Miss Eunice Chamberlain. Miss Eunice, I come in Canada this year for sure, so I'll see you. And Happy Mother's Day, of course, to my mother, Joy Lewis. Listeners, this has been Talk Jamaica. We want to thank you for listening. And for feedback, please, of course, you can always communicate with us by emailing us, listeners, or sending us a message via Facebook. So on behalf of the Talk Jamaica production team, comprising producer Damian Perkins, our team of studio engineers and technical operators, and my co-host Ralston Chamberlain, thank you, listeners, for listening to Talk Jamaica, and join us next week for another edition of Talk Jamaica, its commentary at its best. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Have a good day.
Anything you need, my man, a friend for God. And this year is a sun fall. So, what's a blank for your mama? Light up for your mama.
select her, you better pull up the one you for your mama. Roll like your mama, sing low to your mama. Yeah, I make you know you happy. She bring you to me from your heart, tell me since one. From your love, the mama like this man. Yeah.